tower you could always run to. Darkest hour, he's been faithful and true.
Year worrying, but the Lord had showed himself faithful and true to me and my family, to the church here at Calvary, and to the children's home around the world. God is in control, and we are so very excited. Looking forward to 2025, amen? And this is the first Sunday of the new year, and so we are here for no other reason but to worship the Lord and to see what he has for us. We have not congregated ourselves together in vain. We have gotten all dolled up this morning, gotten ready, and we've come to the house of God believing that he has something for us, and I know he does. And so let's worship him this morning. I want to mention a few things before we have our morning prayer. And let's continue to remember Miss Lucille Turner as she's recovering from her broken hip, and so remember her. And Lily's doing great. She's going for her post-op appointment on this coming up Friday, and she cannot wait to get back to school. Her and Christy cannot wait to get back to church. And while I'm on this subject, when they do come back, and Lord willing, hopefully it'll be next Sunday morning, when you see Lily, we just ask that nobody touches her. Definitely tries not to hug her. Hey, girl, how you been? You know, right there on the back. That probably wouldn't be the best thing. And so if you would, just talk to her from, you know, about a foot away or whatever, just until she fully recovers. And but she's doing great. And again, she's looking forward to being back in the house of God. Same for Christy. And she's really, really ready to go back to school, and which I'm excited to hear that she's so excited to go back to school. And so anyway, remember her, remember Diane Ely as she continues to recover. Jim Jr. surgery coming up a little while from now, March the 20th. He'll be having surgery on his foot. Remember Brother Leonard as he continues his path of health, and Miss Dolores Palmer, her heart conditions, and their daughter that had, I believe it was a heart attack, or she went to the hospital for heart treatment as of late. Kim, I believe I'm right on that. I stand corrected if not, but just remember them if you would. We've got a lot of others on our prayer list to remember, a lot of things going on. Remember tonight we have a very special service opportunity came up, and we took advantage of that. We're going to be meeting over at Lighthouse Baptist in Hiram tonight. Lighthouse Baptist Church, that's 205 Pace Road in Hiram, 30141. And I believe that church, Brother CJ, is over there like behind Academy and Clark's funeral home behind that area?
It's definitely in Hiram.
But okay. I got lost one time trying to make a shortcut through Academy and all of that area, and I seen a church, and I thought it was Lighthouse, so it's behind Clark, just so you'll know, Clark's funeral home. Definitely in Hiram, and just punch that in your Google Maps, and you'll find it. And so it's going to be a great time. Service is going to start. The official start time is 6 o'clock with the Pilot family singing, but at 5:45 p.m., is going to be the Redback Hymnal singing with Brother Charlie Sexton and the Martins and some others. And so it's going to be a great time. It's just a great time, great way to kick off the new year, I think. You know, doing something different. We got to be able to pivot, don't we? We got to be able to pivot. And when you pivot, sometimes it stimulates spiritual growth and touches things in a different way. So remember that tonight. Looking forward to that. I believe Brother Brandon Pilot will be preaching, so this is going to be a great time. I want to share this with you in the bulletin, and it's a statement that I really, really like, and we got it from somebody special. I want to say this. Listen to this. Surround yourself with friends who will tear a hole in the roof, lift you up, carry you down to the feet of Jesus. How about that? And you know that's reflective of the story in the Bible where they had that man and they could not get into church because of the crowd of people, so they tore off the roof to get him to Jesus. That's the kind of friends that we all need. Amen? All right. Well, again, it's good to be here. First service of the new year. And again, if you're glad you're here, say amen. Amen. We want to welcome all of our visitors as well. Thank you so very much for coming to Calvary. We appreciate you, and I hope that you've felt a warm embrace by the Holy Spirit and our fellowship since you've been here already. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you today for who you are, for what you do. Lord, even for the things we don't agree with that you do, God, we know that you ultimately are in charge, and you know what's best for us. And God, I just pray that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray you'll touch hearts through the music. Lord, I pray that you'll touch hearts through the message. God, we want to be a lively, active, operative church this morning. We don't want to be dead. We don't want to be a bunch of deadheads that are here just filled with knowledge and no passion. God, give us both. Give us knowledge and passion this morning. Touch our souls and touch our very inner beings, Lord. And if there's somebody here this morning that isn't saved by the good grace of God, I pray today they'll get born again, saved, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if there's a believer here, Lord, this morning that has been following from afar, from a distance, I pray that you would draw them with cords of love, God, that you would bring them back to the cross. And Lord, let there be rejoicing in the house of God this morning. Let there be salvation in the house of God this morning. Let there be some excitement in the house of God this morning. By the time that we leave, Lord, let us be different than the way that we came. Just as the wise men went home and departed into their own country another way. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you for all that you did in 2024. And we praise you in advance for all that you're going to do in 2025. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen.
Amen. Church, choir, if you will stand, turn over to page number 393. Let's all stand and sing together this morning, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing with me now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
You can be seated as well. Of course, being that we're going over to Lighthouse this evening, which we're very excited about, be no choir practice, of course, this afternoon, so please remember that, choir. And next Sunday, we'll get back into full gear, and we'll start working on some new songs. And we're excited about what the Lord has for us for this next coming year. Amen?
Amen.
God's been good to us, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be in His house this morning. Let me just mention, Pastor, I hope I didn't. I hope you didn't mention it, and I missed it. But if he did mention it, please remember Miss Bonnie Carmichael. So please remember her. She's was in the hospital for about a week or so, and she is back home. But they're asking that we would please not call her, nor visit, because they're trying. She has pneumonia, and they're trying to give her an opportunity just to heal and for her lungs to strengthen. So maybe if you have her number and you want to send her a text or send her a card or something like that, I know she'd really appreciate that. And so please remember Miss Bonnie in your prayers and their family. So, yes. Miss Mary and Sandy, that's correct. Which brings me to my other announcement. On Thursday night, there'll be no...
Well, Thursday morning.
Thursday morning. No morning prayer brunch for the ladies on Thursday. Pick it up in February, in case you didn't hear that. So please do continue to pray for Miss Mary Ann, and I pray the Lord would continue to be with her and touch her. A lot of folks going through a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of prayer requests. So please remember that as well. And again, a lot of folks going through a lot of hard times. There's a lot of sickness flowing around out there. So just take care of yourself. And pray that the Lord just keep us strong and keep us healthy in the days to come. And but thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. You could have chosen to have gone anywhere, but we're thankful that you're here today. Pray that when you leave here, you'll be able to say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's go to Him again in a word of prayer and ask Him just to be with us. Fill this place with His Holy Spirit. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray? you pray for us this morning? We haven't done this song in quite some time, but I don't want to lose out on this song. It's got such a great message. And if you will, just pray for us this morning as we sing, God is still good. As I look back on all of my days, so many times, so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. Times that I've let him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of his hand, and he will give grace and help me to stand. And although he knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt, they darken my ways. Showers of blessings may come any day. He'll see me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand,
all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God is still good. When the waves roll high, God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Amen. What a blessing. Man, I tell you, I enjoyed the singing this morning, Brother Allen. I enjoyed every Sunday that we're here, but something just a little different this morning, just a little different. It has been our prayer today that we would start the new year off worshiping the Lord and abiding in His presence. What a blessing it is, again, to be here this morning. First service of the new year, 2025. And hard to believe. It's 2025, but we're going to jump right into things this morning. And I got a message on my heart I believe the Lord would have me share. And just want to remind everybody that the altars are open beginning, middle, and end of the service. You feel free at any time to come and pray. This is a spiritual hospital. This is where we come to receive help. This is where we come to render up praise to God for all that He's done. Amen. All right, make your way to 2 Chronicles chapter number 33 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. While we're turning there, does anybody have a word of testimony they'd like to share? I mean, your heart is beating out of your chest. We're not trying to fill space right now. But if you have something authentic and genuine, you must say it. If not, then we're going to begin our message this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33 is where we're going to be this morning. If nobody has anything, then we're going to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to start the message this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. Thank You, Lord, for moving in the musical side of the service. Father, I pray for the next few moments that You would guard my mind. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. I pray, Lord, that whatever may be hindering in this service, any noises, any sounds, I pray, God, You'll take care of that, because we have something to say that You put on my heart. Help me, Lord, today be a blessing to Your people. Save the lost, bless the saved is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33 this morning. I'm going to read quite a few verses. I don't normally do that, but for understanding's sake, that's what we're going to do. Verse number 1 down through verse number 13 of 2 Chronicles 33. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Young person, don't think God can't use you. Don't think He can't use you. Manasseh was 12. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. That phrase, all the host of heaven, means the sun, the moon, the stars, and the false gods that go along with them. Also, he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. That's reading quite a few verses this morning. That's 2 Chronicles chapter number 33, verse number 1 down through verse number 13. I want to say by way of introduction this morning, Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great father and a great king. He was a godly father and a godly king. Now, while Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, we also read that Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign in his father's stead. That's a really young age to be on the throne. But the Bible also says that he reigned on the throne for 55 years. So for 55 years, Manasseh was ruling and reigning in that prominent place of leadership. We do know, based on the story that we just read, that he spent some of those years living in disobedience to the Lord. He spent some of those years doing his own thing, leading his own way, taking the steering wheel of his own life. That's what he did for many years. I'm not sure how many years he wasted serving self, sin, and the world, but it was most likely many years that were wasted in the life of Manasseh. Those are years Manasseh lost, and he was not getting back. This morning I'd like to take a few moments and look at Manasseh and his wasted years. Manasseh, wasted years. Let me ask you a question. Everyone that's in this room, those watching on Facebook, listening online, how was 2024 for you? I do want to say, as a church, I feel like we were successful. Think about it. We had many of updates physically to the building. We had put into place permanent outreach. I believe we had 10 out of 12, if not 12 out of 12, monthly outreaches last year. We had and put back in place Vacation Bible School, got some new members, many visitors that are still visiting today. I will say that 2024, was a successful year for Calvary. And it's easy to look at the church and compare it to days gone by and compare it to churches down the road and say, we're not doing nothing. But I want to say, this church was successful. Keep in mind that trickles lead to streams. Streams lead to rivers. And rivers lead to oceans. All we need is a trickle in 2025. And so not only that, but in my family's life, our personal life, it was successful. We finally had Lily's back surgery. This was 10 years in the making. God used that 10 years to fix my heart so that I could be the rock of our family during that time. It was my daughter. You know, she had scoliosis. I was an emotional wreck for most of those years, and I tried to reason and rhyme and figure out where I went wrong. What's going on? And finally, I came to the place of letting God be God, and He just fixed it. Amen? He fixed it. She is walking taller. She's straight as the letter T, and she's ready to get back to life. Praise the Lord. But how was 2024 for you and your family? Did you strive for the best version of yourself? Did you have any spiritual growth? Did you forgive that person that offended you? Did you reconcile that relationship that's been suffering and lingering with no resolve? Did you lean in to the lives of others or just care about yourself and your own life? Did you share your faith that you say you have? So the question is, was 2024 a wasted year or not for you? I want to say this morning, let there be no more wasted time and wasted years, wasted opportunities. Let 2025 be alive. Let us go beyond ourselves. Let us show up and be present in life when we should be. Habakkuk said that he would stand upon his watch. God had a post for Habakkuk to be at, to guard, to protect, to stand. And Habakkuk said, I will be present at my post. God, the things you've entrusted me with, I'll be there. I'll be watchful. I'll be sober. I will be that man on the wall that is guarding my post. Let us be watchful in 2025. Let us be present as parents. Let us be supportive as spouses. Let us be here in church, not just in body, but in spirit and in mind, not just coming to church to leave and go eat and go home, but to be here to be a fountain and not a drain. Let us be alive in 2025. Let us stand upon our watch. Let us be examples that others can mimic as we mimic Christ. Somebody may be here this morning and you might say, well, Brother Justin, I wasted 2024 away. I wasted my years away. It's too late. Time and opportunity has gone by. I will tell you, it's never too late. It's never too late. For an example, I think about a man who committed murder in the Bible, whose name was Moses. He was 40 years old and he killed a man. And then for the next 40 years, he was a fugitive in the backside of the desert in hiding mode. But all the while, God was even working in that desert place in the life of Moses. Moses was a shepherd and he was leading sheep. He was guiding sheep. He was protecting sheep. He was being there for the sheep. He was rescuing sheep. He was doing all these things in hiding mode. Yet God was getting ready to allow him to be leader of Israel. Today, this morning, I say that it's never too late. Make the Lord Lord of what's left. Wherever you're at, be conscious of God and yield your heart and mind to Him, and He can do something great like He did when Moses was running. What about Jonah, for another example? Jonah ran from the Lord. Yet God was gracious and gave him a second chance. Jonah tried to commit suicide. You know that? Jonah said, "This storm and this ship is because of me. I'm running from God. Throw me overboard and I'll just die." In essence, he was saying, "I'm done. I'll sink to the bottom. And that's where I'll be dead." He tried to commit suicide. But God had prepared a great fish. Matthew said it was a whale. And so Jonah was going to commit suicide. Jonah, he said, "I blew it. My life is over." God said, "No, it's not." Jonah tried to commit suicide and jump overboard. God said, "Not yet." Can I say this morning, your life is not over yet? You may have fallen. You may have stumbled. You may have just blown away 2024 and there's no fruit from it at all. This is a new day. This is a new year. We serve a gracious God. We serve a merciful God. His mercies are new every morning. And God can take a life that's wrecked and ruined, such as Manasseh, and turn it out for good in the end. So, this morning, Jonah got a second chance. It's never too late for a new beginning. Make Jesus Lord of what's left. This morning, I want to try to give you five things. We'll get through some of them, maybe all five, I don't know. But I want to mention some things about Manasseh's wasted years and how things changed for the better when he changed. Number one, we see Manasseh departed from the faith of his father. Manasseh's departure from the faith. Notice, if you would, verse number 2. "But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." In verse 3. "For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them." Let's stop there for a moment. We see at 12 years old, he took the throne and he began to depart from the faith and the teachings from the faith of his father and his upbringing. Hezekiah spent years building a life for God and honoring God. Now his 12-year-old is in his lofty position beginning to wane. He's beginning to leave the faith of his father. That's why we have to be careful about who we put in position. And maturity level. The Bible talks about the office of a bishop. Let him not be a novice. You know, I don't think age is everything to do with it as much as experience and maturity level. And so you put the person, the wrong person, in the wrong office, and thank God the last person is about to be out of the White House, out of the office, and the right person is about to be in the office. You put the wrong person in office, bad things will happen. Amen? Bad things will happen. And so we see here that in verse number 3, Manasseh rebuilt what his father tore down. Look at verse number 3. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. What are the high places? The high places are those, and were those, elevated sites used for pagan worship. And so when Hezekiah was on the job, he did away with false worship. He did away with pagan worship. The Bible gives implication here. If his son began to build again, then that means Hezekiah broke down. In fact, the Bible does say his father had broken down. He broke down those high places. He broke them down. Verse 3 through 5, he reared up altars for pagan worship. Look what it says. Verse number 3, and he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshiped all the host of heaven, the moon god, star god, sun god, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. There was only supposed to be altars to the Lord in the house of the Lord. Verse 5, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So Manasseh is departing from the faith of his father. He rebuilt the pagan places there in the high places. He reared up altars for pagan worship, placed them in the church. But notice this. And for those who have sensitive ears, beware. In verse number 6, he sacrificed children in the fire. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Whoa, wait a minute. This is church. It's supposed to be positive preaching. But guess what? It's the Bible. And this man, Manasseh, he was following what the false god, pagan king Malik used to do. Malik used to sacrifice children in the fire. He used to, there is implication that surround this, and other history books would say that they would beat drums, boom, 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 as the children were being sacrificed in the fire, because it would sound out the screams and cries of the children. Later in Bible history, we know that Hinnom is the place of the city dump. It was where all the trash went from the city. That same place where the children were sacrificed and the screams and cries, all the trash went there. It was the city dump, the valley of Hinnom. But also the poor who couldn't have a proper burial, their bodies were taken out to this city dump and they were burned. And so it was a very negative place. It was a painful place. It was an ending place. Meaning that's where the lives of those children ended and those who died ended. It was a trashy place. But also that phrase, the valley of Hinnom, is where we get the reference to Gehenna hell. Gehenna hell. And there is similarities here of this valley of Hinnom, where there's screams and there's cries, and there's waste, and there's trash. And this was a fire that was continually burned in the valley of Hinnom. It pictures a place called hell, or the place hell. While I'm here this morning, and while I'm on this subject, can I say that the same way there is a heaven, there is also a hell. As much as there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun, and it is also called Hades. It is Gehenna hell. It is a place where those people go to that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen, if you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you die, you will go to Gehenna hell. And you will burn eternally. I don't get satisfaction by saying that, but the book says it, and it must be preached. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring. This could be the very last day for some of us. You remember hearing about the New Year celebration down there in Louisiana? Man got in a car, truck, whatever, started plowing through people. I don't remember how many people died. A good bit of people died. They went to celebrate and bring in a new year, and all of a sudden, here comes an automobile plowing through a crowd, and they died. My prayer to God is that they knew Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, listen, it doesn't matter if you're young, middle-aged, or old. Your ticker can stop at any moment. Your heart can stop beating, and your life could be over. Make sure you know Jesus until you can be in heaven, have your name on heaven's roll, or you'll burn eternally in Gehenna hell. So we see that Manasseh sacrificed children in the fire. Not only that, but in verse 6, he practiced witchcraft. He observed times, enchantments, familiar spirits. Bible talks about wizards and wizardry, familiar spirits. That's through the idea of communicating, being a necromancer. Our generation is caught up with the dead. Horror movies and the dead. And listen, young people, middle age and older, you got to be careful about that stuff. Because the devil will put a thought in your mind, why don't you go a little bit further with this? Aren't you mystified at the departed, ghosts, and all those things? And by the way, listen, I don't believe in ghosts. You can say whatever, I sense this, I saw that. I believe in the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about when you die, you're going to heaven or hell. But there are demonic forces who can put on the image of a face to be symbolic to someone. The devil was, he was transformed as an angel of light. In the very beginning, the serpent was a beautiful beast. It stood up. It had legs and it walked, most believe. That's why when the serpent came to Eve, she was taken by its beauty. The devil doesn't come to your house, in my house, Brother Harold, with a pitchfork and a red suit on and says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to draw you in and I'm going to get you. I'm going to destroy your family. No. He tries to paint a picture of beauty. Oh, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And then after Eve took of that fruit and Adam did as well, God had some curse words, brother. Cursed be the ground. Cursed is everything that has been created. Cursed. God had some curse words. And because of that sin in the garden, he told that serpent, on your belly, you'll live all the days of your life. That's how we got snakes. They used to have legs and arms, most believe, and would stand upright. What does that got to do with me, Brother Justin? Witchcraft, wizardry, familiar spirits, communicating with the dead, Ouija boards, rituals, enchantments. This was the man in leadership. God help our churches not have any of these type of people leading the church, trying to draw a crowd. Look what we can do. Abracadabra. Whoo! Yeah! Pow! Pow! Whoo! What is all that? Just stuff you're adding to the church to appeal for people. And listen, we've got TVs in here. We've got fresh paint on the wall. Because we believe that we ought to have a pleasant place for you to come worship that would enhance the gospel to get out. But Lord, help America when the day comes that there's pastors and teachers and preachers who cross that line and go a step further than they should go just to draw a crowd. Not only that, but in verse number 7, he carved an idol image. And he set a carved image, the idol, which he had made in the house of God. So, in today's terms, let me put it in today's language, let me illustrate it this way. The pastor, okay, he loved Ronald Acuna Jr. so much. That plays for the Atlanta Braves, that he had a statue made of Acuna. All right? And one Sunday, he comes stumbling in the church with this big old wooden image wrapped in Christmas paper. And he sets it up here and he says, I got something new to start the year off with. My idol, my hero, Ronald Acuna Jr. And don't you know? Now, I also know 99.9.9% of you would say, Justin, you're off your rocker, you're out of here. Get him out of here or you, one or the other. But there may be some of you that may go home and say, what is it to this Ronald Acuna Jr.? And because I'm liking them, you may start liking them. That's what's going on in our world today, in leadership and in church pews and family with friends. Listen, we got to be conscientious of the fact that people are watching us. People are watching us. They will mimic you. And that's what this man Manasseh did. He had a carved image and put him in the house of God. Let me say this morning, and we're still on our first point. Manasseh departed from the faith of his father. I want to say that we have a generation today, listen to me, that is through carelessness and being lackadaisical, is allowing the things the older generation broke down that was godless and sinful to begin to be rebuilt. We have a generation now that worships pop stars, rock stars, and rappers. They have posters of JoJo Siwa in the room. Posters of Lady Gaga in the room. Posters of Young Thug in their room. Why don't you rip those posters down and put up a poster of Brother Snyder? Why don't you rip those posters down and put a poster of Brother Brian? Hey, why don't you rip those posters down and put my poster up? Amen? We have a generation that is falling to the side, that is worshiping the things of this world, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and whatever feels good. We're losing a generation, and we're losing it fast. Parents, stand upon your watch. It's not about you, it's about God. Parents, keep your children in church. Parents, make sure if you preach righteousness, you live righteousness, because our kids don't mimic what they hear, they mimic what they see. Unfortunately, there has been a departure from the faith. Let me mention another thing. Not only Manasseh departed from the faith of his father, but Manasseh deceived the people of God. Look at verse number 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err or stray, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Manasseh's influence upon the people of God was detrimental. It was detrimental. He made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err or to stray and to do worse than the heathen. And so Manasseh was that negative example that was bringing people down and away from God by the droves. Again, people don't do what you say, they do what they see. We have to make sure we're practicing righteousness if we're preaching righteousness. Manasseh deceived the people of God. In Manasseh's case, he wasn't preaching or practicing righteousness. He was deliberately doing his own thing and talking everyone and taking everyone down around him. So Manasseh deceived or led astray those around him, those that knew better. So we see Manasseh deceived the people of God in verse number 9. But then I want to mention a third thing. We see Manasseh's delayed surrender to the Lord in verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken, because Manasseh did his own thing. God allowed some affliction in his life. The Lord was trying to reach out to Manasseh. Again, verse 10, and the Lord spake to Manasseh. What do you think he said? Well, Manasseh, I have something better for you. Manasseh, follow me as your father did. Manasseh, your father knew what he was talking about. Come this way. The Bible says, and he spoke this to the people, God, but they would not hearken. In other words, Manasseh said, that's all right, Lord. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. What's the famous last words of our children? It's okay, Mom, Dad. I've got this. It's okay, Mom, Dad. I know what I'm doing. And guess what, child of mine? You don't know what you're doing. Guess what, child of mine? I've been there and done that. And guess what, child of mine? When I was your age, I thought Mom and Dad were crazy for saying that. Now I'm a dad, and you have a mom, and now we're saying it. You think it's crazy? I keep telling Lily, Lily, there's coming the day, baby. There's coming the day when you will tell your quadruplet kids. She's going to have quadruplets because she has a titanium spine now. Okay? You're going to tell all them kids. You may think you know what you're doing, but you don't know what you're doing. I said, you write it down. You will say that. She's a great child. But that's what happens generation after generation. I told you so. I told you so. Famous last words. I told you so. And so because Manasseh did his own thing, God had to rescue him. What did he do? I'll tell you what he did. He allowed him to be taken captive and led off to Babylon. But not only that, y'all stay with me. I got a couple things I want to mention here. God allowed Manasseh, you do the study and you do the research, to get a nose ring, to get a hook bored through his nose. Wherefore the Lord brought unto them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns. That phrase, among the thorns, is in reference, direct reference, to a hole in the nose. Brother Randy, whoever's on the board, go ahead and throw it up. The idea of a hole in the nose, with a hook or a ring in the nose. And the Bible also says, and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. This is what happened to Manasseh. Can you imagine? A little different from today's nose rings. Can you imagine being away from God, doing your own thing? Imagine at any time, for that matter, someone putting a nose ring, a hook with chains, and dragging you away from your family, pulling. And it wasn't no simple little, I'm sorry. Get over here, boy. Do you think they cared if they yanked his nose off or not? No. Because these were cruel, evil men. And can I say that there is one still giving nose rings today? Can I say there is an enemy of our soul named Satan? If it's not him, it's one of his demons. And they are locking nose rings in all of our kids, boys and girls, middle-aged, and even older people with addiction and bondage and drugs. And they are dragging everybody to and fro. This morning, this is the picture of some of y'all spiritually. You are addicted to drugs, you're addicted to alcohol, you're addicted to social media, to the point where it has dominance over your life and how you feel and what you think of yourself. You're addicted to gossip, you're addicted to body imagery. You think you don't look good enough and you think you got to look a certain way. Listen, you are addicted to all of these things. You are in bondage. I want to ask you a question this morning. Does it hurt where you're at? Does it hurt? If it hurts, there is a remedy, young people. Y'all sang that song. There is a remedy. Have you had enough? Tell it to Jesus. Have you had enough? God will allow us to reap what we sow, more than we sow, and also later than we sow. Make sure you're making right decisions today so you can have some bright tomorrows. And so there was thorns here, symbolic, and gives reference to hole being in the nose, hook, chains, fetters. He was carried away this way to Babylon. Again, some may be in affliction this morning, carried or pulled by the flesh, unwilling to surrender to Jesus. Let me mention a fourth thing, and we'll hurry. Not only that, but we see Manasseh's decision to yield. Praise the Lord. It took a nose ring and being pulled by the nose in the wrist to Babylon, but he cried out. It took pain, but he cried out for help. Listen. Verse number 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. I want to say this. Verse number 12. In his affliction, he besought the Lord. He humbled himself. Verse 13, he prayed. You say, Brother Justin, I don't know how much longer I can take this addiction. I don't know how much longer I can hold in this unforgiveness. I don't know how much longer I can live this way. Listen, your turning point, your corner could be right now. Right now, the Bible says in verse number 13, and prayed unto him. What's that next phrase? And he was entreated of him. That word entreated means interceded. God interceded immediately. You're only one decision away from being on the right track. You're only one. Jesus is waiting. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points as like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and find mercy to help in time of need. In time of need. Do you need salvation? He'll save you right now. Are you following the Lord from afar? He wants you to come back right now. Right now is the time. Manasseh's decision to yield, it was instantaneous. God immediately interceded on the behalf of Manasseh when he repented. Let me mention this, and I'll close if they want to come with a song. Manasseh's days after. How did his life look after he repented? How did it look? Well, I got good news to report. No more wasted years. God used him in the rest of his years in a great way. Verse number 14, he went to Home Depot and bought supplies and came back and built a wall. Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David. Immediately, he got the building. Verse number 15. He took away strange gods, and he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord. Oh, he took a cunha out of the house. He took them out. Verse number 16, he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed their own peace offerings and thank offerings. But then in the same verse, he commanded Judah to serve God. And commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. And then look at verse number 20. So Manasseh slept with his fathers. He died. And they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Manasseh's days after were great. Manasseh, wasted years? Yes. But Manasseh, improved years? Great years? Yes. And it all, the door hinged upon his decision to say, Lord, I'm hurting so bad. I just come to you. I give it to you. Please, Lord, direct my steps in my life. And since that day, things were well in the life of Manasseh. This is another prodigal son story. The life of Manasseh. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for everything. I pray in the next few moments you'll give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. You feel free to come to the altar if you need to. Some have come already. If you need to come again, you come again. Somebody will be here to meet you.
Have thine own.
Tell it to Jesus.
Mold me and make me.
One decision away.
After thy will.
One decision away from greatness.
While I
from restoration.
Yielded and stayed.
Continuing to sing while we have someone down here. Off the right way, if you haven't already. I'm sure you have. Most have.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow.
No more wasted time, no more wasted years. I'm going to go to that person. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to tell God all about it. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to try. That's all he asks, is to give us our little bit. And he'll transfer it to a lot. Another moment, another verse. Let's give another verse. Nobody comes. Nobody else will close it. Anybody?
Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
Nobody comes, we'll close.
Power, all power, sure.
Singing. Thank you guys so very much. Thank you for being here this morning. And just remember again, tonight it's at 6 o'clock. We normally have service at 5 o'clock, but over at Lighthouse it'll be at 6 o'clock. But there'll be special music before the special music starting at 5:45 p.m. The Redback Hymnal Group is what I call it. And so meet us over there if you can. It'll be a great way to kick off the new year. And don't waste no more time. Amen. All right. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. If anybody don't have anything else. All right. Brother Allen, would you close us out?